thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and it's always great to have Mike Bino join us. He is editor of Our Wisconsin, a magazine that's packed with stories, photos, recipes, and they're all about things that make Wisconsin special. So we'll be visiting with him about what's going on in the magazine and talking to you as well. Maybe you've got a comment or a question about the magazine. Maybe you have a favorite place or a favorite event coming up you want to talk about here in the state. Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org as well. And certainly love to hear from you. And Mike Bino, welcome back.
It's great to be back, Larry. We're having a great time up here in the Great North Woods in Vilas County. And we enjoy talking to your listeners all the time, finding out what's going on all over the state.
Well, I tell you what, the last time you were on, we talked about a feature that you put together with about Joe Weinbauer, the gentleman who built the rock wall. And that was an amazing, you had some amazing photos of that rock wall. And there's a kind of a follow-up to that story.
Thanks, Larry. That story has been just a lot of fun. We've heard so much about it. But to recap this, a reader gave us a tip about an 86-year-old cemetery keeper in Greenbush, right near Wade House, about half mile away. And there's a rock wall dating to 1848, put together by mortar there, historic piece. And this gentleman decided he wanted to build a wall of his own. And the cemetery board said, go ahead. By the time he got done, it was a third of a mile long, and it was put together with no mortar, fitted perfectly, 40 inches high, 30 inches across the top. He did it with his bare hands, alone, on his own, no mortar, and smashed a few fingers along the way, but he lifted 2.3 million pounds of stone, figuring that he moved every one of these three times. Okay, so we told that story, and at the end, and he, during his work day, all day, he eats Wheaties, soggy cereal. He spoons that stuff down all day long. And we wound up the story saying, you know, Joe Weinbauer, for that feat, he ought to be on the cover of on the front of a box of Wheaties. And out went the story, and about 2 or 3 weeks later, we got an email from General Mills saying, we agree. So they made up. They sent him his own keepsake box of Wheaties. We have that up on our Facebook page here right now if anybody wants to look, and you can see the wall. But Joe got his own box of Wheaties, and he's smiling with it there, and that's fitting. He reports that over 100 people so far have come out to find him in the cemetery working on his wall, and he's talked with people from Oregon, North Carolina, Alaska, and they're still coming.
That is a great story. Well, just the story about him and then the photos. I mean, what a fantastic thing that he's built there.
If you look at that picture of the box of Wheaties, the photographer had him dress in exactly the same way, holding his box as he is on the box. And yeah, at age 86, building that wall, Larry, I don't know about you, but I feel terrifically inadequate.
Sarah Hopeful, our engineer. Sarah, look that up on what's your page?
Our Wisconsin Magazine.
Yeah. I know, but I thought other people would want to know, too. So Our Wisconsin Magazine, if you look that up, you're going to find out about Joe Weinbauer and other things about Our Wisconsin Magazine as well. This is the August-September issue that I have in front of me here. It's a beautiful issue. And, you know, I always liked the polka. I learned that as a very young kid. I was probably 6 years old when I first did the polka.
Where was that, Larry?
the Cottage Grove area. I was born in Stoughton, Wisconsin, and grew up around Cottage Grove.
Okay. Well, there's polka. Polka is the Wisconsin state dance, of course. Polka dancing and music is all over the state, primarily the Polish, Bohemian, Slovenian, and Germans who settled here. But there's even wisps of polka you can hear in Mexican music. But central Wisconsin is a heartland for this, up around Stevens Point in Wisconsin Rapids, Wausau, Marshfield. And a young lady by the name of Lily Rose Erdman from Almond out near Stevens Point, she was given the honor of being crowned the polka princess, the national polka princess, in 2015 and 16. And she traveled to 42 festivals in 52 weeks all over the East Coast, upper Midwest, and her parents, Paul and Sabrina, drove Lily and her brothers 14,300 miles in 209 hours, covering 13 states. Now, this is her mother Sabrina's fault, because Dad doesn't polka, okay? And she told Dad at the wedding, Paul, she said, "I will not marry you unless you dance polka with me at the wedding." And so he did so. And Sabrina taught her children, Lily Rose being one of them, how to polka around the kitchen table when they were toddlers. So as early as they could walk, they were dancing. And so Lily took this on. In Cleveland, she was crowned and danced with her with Ray Warzynski, who's her great grandfather from that area. So Lily Rose went out as the representative of polka all across the nation, telling younger people polka's cool, it's not old, polka's a lot of fun. And I didn't know there were several different kinds of Polish dances, but she's showing the world. There's the Polish hop.
Yeah, which I like the hop polka myself. I'm pretty good at that.
Okay. Well, Lily says that one's easy to do. Now, I think you are you aware of the other type of dancing?
Oh yeah, the other I'm forgetting the name of it, but the standard polka that everybody dancing when there's a wedding dance and a polka comes up. It's not the hop polka. It's the glide. Is it a glide?
It's a glide. You bet. Nationally, it's known as the Chicago push, but it's a horizontal glide. Those folks stay in the middle of the ring, says Sabrina, her mother, and the people hopping, they get on the outside of the ring because they tend to bowl others over. But, you know, as Lily says, she said, "I was born with a polka beat in my heart, and it's all about not only fun and energy, but it's togetherness." Yeah. And I think it brings people together. Again, the central part of the state, all the commercial state radio stations seem to have polka programs going. But the biggest bands in the nation that play polka, and it's a big subculture in that genre, they show up in the central part of the state and play church dances and evening dances all summer long.
Yeah. Our guest today, Mike Beno, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, talking about the events going on here and the things going on in the magazine, but also all through the state. You may have a question, a comment about the magazine, or maybe an event in your area you want to talk about, or maybe something cool that Mike Beno could have somebody write about for the magazine. Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. You know, when I was so in my teen years, I, you know, grew up on a farm, and we had all the neighbors raised tobacco. So I made a lot of money in the summer. I mean, a lot of money for me at the time. Cutting tobacco, harvesting tobacco, putting it up in the shed. And you've got a great story. It brought back a lot of memories as I read that story about tobacco farming. Used to be pretty popular in Wisconsin, and the work was hard. I can tell you that. And it comes through in the story.
Well, Larry, I didn't know all that background when this story came into us about harvesting tobacco in Wisconsin, but at one time, 30,000 acres was planted to it here, and it was Wisconsin was a leading producer. To my way of thinking, when I think of tobacco, I'm thinking of Kentucky or Virginia. And the labor that they describe in this story, it was sent to us by Brian Larson of Elmwood. He grew up in Viroqua, which at one time called itself the tobacco capital of Wisconsin. So as recently as the 1940s, they had 30,000 acres planted around the state. Today, there's fewer than 900 acres, but the backbreaking hand labor that this gentleman describes, that he did just like you, is amazing. It's the closest thing to cotton cropping, I think, that this state will ever come to. But it was a very big crop in the state, and the government set assigned allotments to different farms, and so typically these were smaller pieces of bigger farming operations. An allotment could be a large one could be 6 acres of tobacco, a small one could be a tenth of an acre, and it was very closely watched how much you planted and cultivated. But you had to get certified seed, prepare the seed beds, and sterilize the soil with steam, stretch cheesecloth over the small plants that you put in, and carefully tended those. You're disking and plowing up the fields, etc. Then transplant them by hand with a mechanized planter, sometimes pulled by horses or a tractor, much like a tree planter, but you two people ride on the back, and you plant that directly into the ground. Did you do that?
Oh, yes.
Is your back hurting right now, Larry?
I was just thinking about it. Occasionally, I'd get the plant mixed up, and one plant would go in with the roots in the air. We had a hand, one of these mechanized operations, and once in a while, the plant went in. You know, it was interesting because everything, as he talks about in that article, You handled every plant many, many times over the course of that plant's life.
And so you topped them and took stalks off. What would happen? I mean,
sucker them, you'd top them, you'd sucker them, but you suckered one plant at a time going up and down the rows, and then you'd top them when you wanted the leaves to fill out a little bigger. And then when it was time to harvest, you went in with a tobacco axe, which I still have one in my office, given to me by Bob Newman, a horticulturist here, and rest his soul. And you cut them down one plant at a time, and then you put them on a lath, one plant at a time, about 5 or 6 on a lath, maybe. And you loaded those lath up into a pole shed. I can remember being up in the peak of a tobacco shed, straddling two poles.
Did you fall? I mean, that's
there were a lot of falls. So anyway,
To those plants. No, I got to interview you, Larry. You did this. I didn't. So now those plants are sticky tar in them, correct?
Yeah. Your hands would be black.
Wow. And you handled them several times. You were cutting them, trimming them, suckering them. Wow. Okay, so then you hang it in the sheds. Okay, now it's got to dry, right? Okay, but then when you go to take it down, aren't those plants brittle in the fall? Come around, you know?
No, October? Because you'd wait until what they called case weather, which was when typically we did it in December or so. Wrong about Christmas vacation time.
Okay, so, yeah.
And so the plants would be a little more pliable. The leaves themselves, you'd bring them down, and then you'd take each plant, you'd have them 5 on a lath, and you had a little arrangement where you could set the lath, and then you went down each plant and pulled off each leaf one at a time.
Okay, so that more damp, foggy weather in the late fall would rehydrate the leaves, so to speak, so it wouldn't be so brittle?
Yep.
And then you take them down. The bigger leaves were used for cigar wrappers.
Yeah.
And the smaller was the filler.
Or,
and then
or,
you took
or chewing tobacco.
Okay, where did you take your crops,
Stoughton.
Your bales?
A buyer would come around, and the Stoughton had several warehouses, Stoughton, Wisconsin.
Okay. At one time, Edgerton alone employed 1,000 people in 45 warehouses stripping and sorting tobacco. The tobacco pool building, historic building, still stands in Viroqua, their leaf tobacco. That's Vernon County, and there's no tobacco being grown there now. So
yeah.
The tobacco axes are in the antique stores. And it's a thing of the past there. There's still some tobacco being grown, I understand, in Rock, Dane, Jefferson County.
Yeah, a little bit.
One final thing, the Norwegians really took to this. They didn't grow any of this in Norway, but the people in the western part of the state there that came from Norway took to this, learned it, and they were cultivating a lot of it.
Yeah, Mike Beno, our guest today, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. As I said, Sarah Hopeful, our engineer. Jill Nadeau, our producer, here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at Wisconsin through the eyes of Mike Beno, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. The August-September issue is out right now. Great to have him along. And Mike, all our phone lines are filled, so I want to go to Jerry in Lake Tomahawk next. Jerry, thanks for waiting.
Hey, thank you. Just want to tell you how much I enjoy the show, and especially shows like this that feature the Wisconsin outdoors. I live up in Lake Tomahawk, and I can't really get out as much as I like to, but every time the magazine comes, it kind of makes up for it. And I think Mike's probably got his next article right now. He seems to be doing it on the show. But I also want to congratulate Mike on all of the beautiful pictures in there. And I really enjoy the Amish Diary. That is really, really nice.
Oh, Jerry, thanks a lot for calling. And you're not going to want to miss the Amish Diary for this latest issue. Mike Beno, there's the great story about a couple of weddings in the diary.
Yes, and Jerry, thanks so much for those kind words on the magazine. Yeah, the Amish Family Diary is a department we have, about 2.5 pages in every issue, and we have a diarist named Owen Yoder, who lives on a farm in Cecil, just near Bondiwell, and we present a week-long diary that he keeps for us, just what life is like for him and his family there on their small dairy farm operation they have. It's small organic dairy, maybe 20-odd cows, and they do a number of other things, too. But the Amish community, this diary gives us a very interesting glimpse into the Amish community and how self-sufficient, insular they are, yet still making their way in the modern world. And so they have fairly large families, as in the past, farm families did. You need a lot of hands to work on a farm. And recently, of their 9 children, their 2 youngest daughters at home, both got married. And as we know, sometimes fathers wince a little bit when their daughters start running up the wedding till they're putting it together. Well, they had 2 weddings in 2 weeks on the farm. Okay, so picture this: hundreds of family and friends from 6 different states came out to this farm on Highway 117 in Cecil. His daughter, Elnora, married Vernon Schmucker on May 24th, and then daughter Carolyn married Dennis Borntrager on June 7th. 2 weeks apart, 2 weddings, and they are seating hundreds there and feeding them.
350, I think, at the one wedding.
Yeah, they had... let's see, they set tables and chairs for 320 people for the meals in one end of a cleaned-out machine shed that they power washed, et cetera. 320 for the meals, seated, and 450 for the services, the benches. So obviously people were at both. Okay, so how do you do that on this farm? How do you feed that many people not once but twice in 2 weeks and pull this all off? They're pretty well set up for it. The neighbors all know what to do. Okay, so what they have in the Amish community and within the state is something called the wedding trailer. Okay, it's got tables, chairs, pots, pans, utensils, glass dishes, anything you need for a wedding. And any family in the Amish community within the state can rent this thing and use it, okay? And they know how to go to work. So the trailer came up to the Yoder farm from Loganville in Sauk County. There was a wedding there. And, by the way, Amish weddings are held on Thursdays.
Yeah, Thursday mornings.
9 in the morning, okay? And they have the service. Then they have a big sit-down dinner at noon. And in this instance, they did a sit-down dinner at noon with 14 young couples running plates in. It's a sit-down dinner, all done with glass dishes. And the couples were running the plates out from a kitchen they set up with 7 gas ranges they set up. They did all the cooking ahead of time, all the corn raised on the farm. They were out of corn for the second wedding, by the way, so they had to buy shelled peas for Carolyn's wedding. Okay, so they're doing Salisbury steak and 200 pounds of potatoes and 12 gallons of gravy, sweet corn, all that, all the home baked goods. And they're running these out. No paper plates or utensils, so when they're all done, all those dishes got to be washed.
Yeah.
And everybody pitches in, and it's a time for conversation. They have a second meal at 5:30 that evening. That's for they had visitors from far away as Montana, 6 different states, and it's a time for conversation and reconnecting, working together. And you never get closer with people than you do with those you work with. You spend so much time, you know, on a common mission, cause. So they did that 2 weeks in a row. They went with barbecued chicken on the second wedding and with the shelled peas, and they started cooking the chicken at 4 in the morning while all this was getting put together. But back-to-back weddings, something very different. And when I speak with Owen Yoder, our diarist, he said, people talk to him often and said, how do you pull this together? How do you do all this work? It's a lot of teamwork and a lot of people helping each other out.
Yeah, it is. Clarence in Watertown has something relating to that. Clarence, hi.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. I got to shut my tracker off here. I'm out in the field. I would like to talk to Mr. Yoder, talk dairy farming, talk shop with him, and how they treat the cows, what they're allowed to treat. They're organic, and how they manage the horses, and the family life, you know, everything centers around the farm and the work. And to Larry, my wife grew up in Deerfield, and her parents had an acre and a half of tobacco. And she hated it with a passion. She was the oldest of four, and, yep, there was no Christmas vacation. If case weather came, you were in the stripping shed. And she particularly hates country music because at that time, the only station they could get were these far-off Southern Bible station. And as a teenage girl, she did not like that kind of music.
No Elvis.
Well, I know that I harvested tobacco in the Deerfield area, so maybe I harvested tobacco at her farm. Clarence, thanks a lot for calling. Well, he talked about wanting to meet Mr. Yoder to talk about his agriculture. You kind of meet him a little bit as part of that diary.
You do meet him. And people feel they know. They feel they know this family. They write to us and they ask about the individuals. But people do go out and find him and talk to him. He'll be with workhorses off in his hayfield somewhere. People will drive 3-4 hours from across the state and go looking for him. And they will see him way off in the distance. They know enough not to walk over hayfields and things. And they will walk out there and stop him. And he's happy to stop and talk to him. And, you know, this is all about friendly neighbors, this whole magazine, really. He loves talking with people. And, yeah, they're certified organic. They get their inside of their barn whitewashed too, like other people, and they can only use certain fertilizers and mix them certain ways. And they go to, by the way, they go to a lot of these scientific seminars all over the state. They hire drivers, and they take them around to learn about the science of this stuff. So it's not just throwing things in the ground. They're very careful with it.
Yeah. Clarence, thanks a lot for those comments and stories. Great to hear from you. I appreciate it very much. Christina in Sheboygan has something for us. Hi, Christina.
Hi. I want to tell you about a 27-year-old festival that we have in Sheboygan the third weekend of August, which would be this Saturday. And it's called Earth Fest, and it's a celebration of taking care of the earth and living sustainably. And we have environmental speakers from Sierra Club and the Great Lakes Association. We have music and belly dancers and African dancers. We have environmentally friendly nonprofit organizations showing what you can do to live more sustainably. And we have vendors who are selling their handmade wares. And it all happens in Fountain Park, which is on Erie Avenue and 8th Street. And Erie is the same as Highway 23 going down to the lake.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it?
It does, Christina. That belly dancers, too. There we go. but, no, that sounds like a very eclectic festival, a lot of things happening. And the environment, well, you know, this is the state of Aldo Leopold, John Muir, Gaylord Nelson, anything about the environment and our ecology. I mean, I don't think there's a stronger state than Wisconsin for paying attention to that traditionally.
Thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too, with your questions or comments. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments. Oh, we had Mark from Austin, Texas, online, who wanted to talk about the beauty of Wisconsin. He's visiting, helping his daughter. I think he's painting, doing some painting inside the house. And I met him last weekend. I went to play some golf. I was by myself, and he was there on his own, and we talked and had a great time golfing. He's a pretty good golfer. He hits the ball a long way. But anyway, people from outside Wisconsin learn to love the state as well, for sure. You know, I think... I wanted to mention the Kids from Wisconsin group. It's been around for 50 years now. And several of my former students at the UW sang in that group. And one of them, Stacy Griesbach, is now, she graduated from here several years back now, but she is in charge of worldwide film distribution for Sony Motion Pictures. But she kind of got a start on the stage with the Kids from Wisconsin.
Yeah, the kids from Wisconsin. I mean, they're so well known to those of us who live here. You know, they're celebrating their 50th year this year, and the only thing I think that beats them out at state fair occasionally in attendance is the racing pigs. I mean, they're huge, and with good reason. They're a song and dance troupe, a show business troupe, which really has nothing to do with education. It's all professional. And they, as you mentioned, Larry, the people who've done time and the Kids from Wisconsin, and a lot of it is kind of on a boot camp level. It's tough. A lot of these performers have gone on to show business careers on Broadway. One is playing trumpet with Harry Connick Jr. right now. One's directing the Boston Youth Symphony. But back in 1969, starting with Governor Warren Knowles, he wanted some fine ambassadors for the state to carry a positive message. And they went ahead and formed the Kids from Wisconsin, run many years by Colonel Mark Azzolina of Kenosha. He was a real life. He's passed now. He's been gone since 96, but for 27 years he ran it. he was a band director in the Air Force, but well connected in the music industry. Sideman with Guy Lombardo. He was and conducted the a pops orchestra in Florida. So he had connections, and he went ahead and they put together a 17-day boot camp of rehearsals. And students, they would have auditions and still do all over the state. Talented high school kids would go and audition in Eau Claire, all around. And they first started, they had 60 people and took them on the road. 90-minute variety program, patriotic pop show tunes. And they'd play state fair. They all received $14 a week for food. This is in the beginning in 69, for food and keep their uniforms clean. Well, when they started in 69 and 70 at state fair, the colonel was lining up acts like at the tops of their career, Johnny Cash, Sonny and Cher, the Supremes. Those are the biggest acts of their time. The kids from Wisconsin were performing right alongside them. And actually were written up by the AP as stealing a show from Guy Lombardo in New York. They were traveling the country back then. They're celebrating their 50th year this year. They've just done their run at State Fair Park. They've been performing this summer in 35 communities all over the state. They're still, I guess, going through this weekend. That's the kids from Wisconsin. Here we go. Their 50th anniversary, 1,000 young adults have performed in this in front of 10 million people nationwide. That's how big they are.
Yeah, they were a great group and started a lot of careers for a lot of youngsters here in the state. And as an aside, Warren Knowles, I think, as a forward-looking guy, did a lot of good not only for that but for other environmental things as well here in the state with our ORAP and so forth. But we have more callers online. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Ron in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out there's a side benefit to using plow horses instead of tractors, and that's a matter of safety. Years ago, I used to read in local paper about, I had a nickel for every story about some farmer who was maimed and killed when he was contour plowing with a tractor and it fell on him. And one of my dad's relatives was killed by a tractor falling on him. Well, the other thing, too, it makes your carbon footprint smaller.
Yeah.
Using a horse instead of tractors.
Yeah, and we're actually, I think the Amish are probably the only group, probably maybe the only group, that still uses horses regularly. I remember my grandfather saying that they were the horses from the neighbors that he used to borrow for weeding were better than a tractor because they didn't compact the soil and they stayed in the row on their own.
A lot of there's a surprising number of loggers who use
yes. Yeah, for sure. Ron, thank you. Appreciate the call. And Ken in Madison, your turn. Hi, Ken.
Hello, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. What's on your mind?
Well, I grew up in the Monona, Madison area. I have relatives that have farmed in the Stoughton area for years. And my understanding on how tobacco came to Wisconsin, at least Dean County, was that the English settled here first and farmed, and they brought the tobacco with them, and they brought the Norwegians over as indentured servants to their farms because it was a poorer country, and that the Norwegians liked the area and settled and started their own farms and started tobacco farming in earnest.
Oh, interesting story, Mike Bino.
Well, I'm wondering if it even goes back earlier than that, because the Native American people were very, very tied up with tobacco. And I thought that some of that culture, the tobacco cropping from here, went over to Europe, and maybe it came back, too, to Wisconsin. But there's that Native American tradition of tobacco in the United States, probably more in the East. That would probably ties in with that as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate the call. Gene in Rockford, Illinois, your turn.
Yeah, hi, guys. I had to call in with a little story, I guess, about Wisconsin and you polka dancers, I'll tell you. I just grew to have such a dislike for it, but over time I had this happen to me. As a youngster, around 12, 13, my dad used to live in Stoughton, and so on weekends I had to go to Stoughton, Wisconsin, and hang out and with that, what is it, the Norwegian festival, I think they used to have anyway, and that's all I heard was polka music. I had such a dislike for it, I guess, just as a youngster. But then years went on, and then in my 20s, I got in a band there in Northern Illinois, and we played weddings all over the place. All of a sudden, we got a wedding reception in Orfordville, and we walked in there, and the bride's father says, "Well, here's the polka band. Hope you guys are playing polka." And that's the last thing we played. The only one we knew was Beer Barrel Polka. So I told the guys in the band, I said, "Just play it." We played that one song, and that place raised the roof. Unbelievable.
How many times did you have to play that same song?
Yeah, that's all we did for song number two. We played Beer Barrel Polka all over again, only we had the keyboardist play it differently. And then we had, for the song number three, we played the Beer Barrel Polka, only the guitarist played. And that's all we did all night long, and that's all those people did was dance. And so
they had fun.
20, 30 years goes by, and I'm in a whole different career. I became a paramedic and a firefighter, and I thought, oh, God, thank you. I got away from polka. But then I became a professional dance instructor, and I taught regular dancing all over Chicago and Northern Illinois. But all of a sudden, I got a job outside of Janesville at a small bar, and I walked in there, and that guy says, "Man, here's the polka instructor. Thank God."
Oh,
love it, Gene.
Oh, that is a great story, Gene. Well, it's it sounds almost like the kind of story that you'd find in our Wisconsin magazine.
Well, people dancing the polka are always smiling. People jogging are never smiling.
Oh, man, you're right about that. Say, we're running out of time here, but just quickly, you have a new treasure hunt.
Oh, yes, we do. We have a new treasure hunt, and it's getting to be that's where we hide a key in a park and challenge our readers to go find that thing. It's a key to our treasure chest, and every issue we give some clues, and we narrow down the search map, and issue by issue, people get closer. This time our prize is going to be a Grill Like a Pro package. It's approaching $5,000 in retail value. You get the winner who finds this in a park somewhere in Wisconsin is going to get an XL Big Green Egg barbecue cooker, smoker, oven, table, $1,200 worth of meat, accessories. It's a big package. Oh, also the Big Butts barbecue and rubs from Siren, Wisconsin. So people have a ball looking for that key.
Mike, it's always a fun to talk with you about our Wisconsin and about what's going on here in the state. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
It's always fun, Larry. Thank you.
Mike Beano, editor of Our Wisconsin magazine, comes out every 2 months, and it's all about the state of Wisconsin. Really a lot of fun. Well, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Believe it or not, my daughter starts a high school her sophomore year on the 20th, I believe it is, of August. So it's coming up. And Myrna Scher and Nancy Schultz will be coming up next to talk with us about helping your kids or maybe your grandkids cope with back to school and a whole bunch of other things relating to raising kids. That next on the Ideas Network.